University Broadcast Studio.
It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What a great day to have you join us, folks. And we're hanging out together. We're getting through this national crisis together here on the radio, taking your calls. How are you doing? Are you folks are I know a lot of you folks are anxious out there. A lot of you folks are a little confused about what's going on. And that's why we have the radio, just to kind of help everybody get through this together. And we're going to do it with a little bit of humor today. We're going to do it with a little bit of knowledge. We're going to share important information with you. And we're going to do it by hearing from you, the great listeners of this radio show, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain, 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Just a few moments ago, President having the daily coronavirus update. And the president is confirming probably one of the most important pieces of news we've been getting, that he is considering a plan to ban illegal aliens from crossing the southern border. In other words, we're going to shut down our border. You know, the Mexicans already said they're going to do the same thing. And I say good for them. As a sovereign nation, they have a right to secure their borders. And as a sovereign nation, we have a right to secure ours. And this is we're not talking about just public safety. We're talking about a major health issue. We've got to shut down the borders. Canadians considering a similar measure. They've already been doing it over in many of the European countries. President also says they're going to be sending a hospital ship to New York City. We'll be getting some more information on that news as well, because there is a shortage of hospital beds across the country. And no, it's not. That is not President Trump's fault. Also, it's been a pretty rough day on Wall Street, and we're going to get into that with our next guest, who is one of the top financial guys in the entire Mid-South. Jim Shoemaker has a great radio program there on KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. And Jim, it is an honor to have you with us on the program today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Well, Jim, first of all, as a financial guy, I think a lot of people are real nervous out there. What are you hearing from people there in the Mid-South? What are the top concerns they have about this?
You know, it's amazing, Todd, when you talk to it's according to the individual's age. If they've been in this situation before, where we've seen the market go down like an elevator, they haven't seen that, then they fear it more. But the person who's understood it in the past, you know, it says, well, if it goes down like an elevator, it's probably going to come up like an escalator. And that's kind of what most people in a certain age bracket will say. But everybody fears it. But face it, the bull market for the S&P 500 is officially over. And it lasted 131 months. And everybody has forgotten that because, believe it or not, we as a people are just not, if we feel the pain of losing money more than we feel the pain of enjoyment when we gain money. And that's just a natural human event. That's what we hear a lot of people saying.
You know, one of the things that we've seen here in New York City, Bank of America in Midtown Manhattan, which is where I do most of my banking, there was actually a run on $100 bills. They actually ran out of $100 bills. I guess people are taking their money out of the bank. Is that a good thing to do, to take your money out of the bank, or should you keep it where it's at?
You know, the problem with that is, why would you, I mean, is this a financial crisis or is this an event crisis? Now, we look at it from our perspective as professionals. This is an event, a crisis. As soon as, the president even says this, things go down quickly, they will come back quickly. Now, we may see, we call it the difference between event or a structural crisis. Structural would be a run on the banks, or 2008 is a perfect example of a structural crisis in our economy. The recession was caused basically by some bad banking principles that put a lot of people in trouble. That created that. This is not a structural crisis. This is more of a sign of I think it's emotional. I think that a lot of this is, now it's serious. Please don't think I'm taking this not being serious. It's very serious. But we are letting our emotions run rampant. And sometimes when we get caught up in what somebody else is doing, we call it following the herd mentality. If you've got a friend of yours that said, hey, I went and got all the $100 bills I could at the bank, guess what you're going to do this afternoon? You're probably going to follow suit. You don't know why you're doing that, but you're going to do it because your friend did it. And that's what's happening in a lot of cases.
I see. That makes a lot of sense. My financial guys have said, you know, Todd, just don't even look at your 401k. Just let it be. Let it be. You know, don't need to cause yourself your blood pressure to go up.
Good advice, by the way. Very good. But we don't do that. I mean, you know, face it, if you're watching the 5 o'clock news and the market dropped 1,000 points, we by nature follow, listen and pay attention, and we get emotionally involved. And I say this to a lot of people, and I think this is important. You don't get in the market emotionally, and you don't get out of the market emotionally. This is your 401k. I had a call this morning, Todd, from a guy that was 31 years old, and you could hear in his voice, I mean, you know, he's saying, I want to know what to do with my 401k plan, and I'm thinking, I asked him, I said, how old are you? And he said, 31. I said, nothing. I said, now is the time to put as much as you can into it because you've got a long horizon. This will be something you will talk to your grandkids about if you even remember it. But that's hard to say or hard to understand when we're right in the middle of it. If you could go back and think about what you might have been doing with your 401k in January of 2008, man, everybody was going, this, you know, when's this going to bottom? When's this? And that's what happens to us. We get caught up in that emotions. And, of course, in March of 2000, by 2009, just a year later, the market began to climb out of this recession that we were in back then. It's going to be the same thing this way. But, I have to say this because I do this every day. Past performance is never an indication of future performance. But if you look back over the last 75 years, we've had 12 declines of at least 20%. Now, this goes back to your 401k. You've had 12 declines. You didn't look at them during that period of time. That's one every 6.25 years. And in every case, can't tell you about this one, but in every case, we've climbed out, usually on average, about 24 months. We're back to where we were, and we're back to new all-time highs. Now, I think this is important for everybody to understand. This bull market that we've just experienced set 255 all-time closing highs. All-time closing highs. That's a pretty good scorecard.
That's a really good scorecard. Jim Shoemaker on the Newsmaker line from ShoemakerFinancial.com. If you have a question, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Jim, a lot of folks have been weighing in on our Facebook page, and someone asked this, says, Todd, I've lost quite a bit on paper and mutual funds, but I don't want to cash out. I don't think you should jump off the roller coaster in the middle of the ride. Am I doing the right thing by just riding this thing out till it calms down?
Wow, that guy needs to be in the business. That they're saying exactly what people need to hear. Ride it out. When they talk about that, we used to do this a long time ago. There was a philosophy that you could time the market. Well, there's been some Nobel Prize winners proven that to be very, very difficult. In fact, you have to, you know, your batting average has to be 75% or better, and that's pretty difficult. So right now, if a person is in that, you know, volatile side, they've seen their market, they've seen 20-25% of their 401k or any of their investment portfolio go down, the best thing to do is to stay where they are and let it do what it's going to do. It does come back. In fact, the problem with it is, Todd, a lot of people, they get out at some point, they don't know when to get back in, and the reality is if you miss 10 of the best possible days over this last 10 years, the best returns, you're going to have affect your portfolio quite a bit. I mean, in some cases, as much as 35%. So missing an up day can be very devastating to a portfolio. So just let it do what it's doing. And if it's in a mutual fund or an ETF or something like that, usually especially the mutual fund managers, they're paying a lot of attention to this right now. They're doing a lot of things and they're buying a lot of things that are on sale. Let me ask you this question, because based on what the guy's asking, If today you went to the grocery store and the grocery store, normal prices, forget what's going on, normal prices, but tomorrow you could go to the grocery store and everything was 30% off, would you buy more stuff? Sure you would. And that's what's going on right now. We're seeing a very good sale on the great companies of America, and the great companies of America will be the great companies of America a year from now.
I'm putting all my money on Charmin, Jim.
We started a cottage ministry of selling masks on the road outside the office here, so that's a good thing too.
You know what? Absolutely. This is good stuff, Jim. We'd love to get you back on the program, and I know our listeners have lots of questions, and you've got some great answers and a wealth of knowledge as well. Tell folks where they can go to get more information, and if they would love to get some more financial advice from you guys.
Well, if they would like to just give us a call, you can call us at 1-800-757-5020.
Got it. All right. And of course, you are also, perhaps more importantly for us, the host of Talk Money on KWAM. It's a terrific show you guys have.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate doing it and love to do it. And we just enjoy our listening audience. They're very good to us and they're very faithful to us.
Indeed. All right. Jim Shoemaker, ladies and gentlemen, Shoemaker Financial. By the way, we have links to Jim's website. They're on our live show blog at toddstarnes.com. Jim, thank you very much. All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break here and pay some bills. I know a lot of you folks on hold. We want to know what's happening in your communities. How you doing? How are you doing? Are you a little stressed out? If so, give us a call. Avery, the call screener, is very good at just calming you down. It's free therapy. Compliments of our talk show. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, so the governor of New Jersey is asking businesses, large and small, to keep everybody on the payroll. So even if you have to shut down your business, the governor there wants you to keep paying people. And I am curious, if you are a small business owner, how are you doing through all of this? Have you had to lay off workers? Are you having to work from home? And what about all you folks? Maybe you're not a business owner. Maybe you are a worker. Are you now working from home as a result of the coronavirus? By the way, there's a report out of Atlantic City, and we'll ask Harry Hurley about this from WPG in a little bit. Apparently, Macy's shutting down all of the stores in that area for a month. And you know that's gonna put a lot of people out there on the unemployment line. No doubt about it. All right, let's get to the phones. 844-747-8868. John, listening to us in the great state of North Carolina. What's going on today, John?
Mr. Todd Starnes, the food and toilet paper situation in North Carolina is probably about the same as it is in any other state. I have never been able to find any Purell since it started, but I found cans of Lysol. So what I do is I spray Lysol on my hands and rub my hands together real good because Lysol is supposed to kill a lot of germs, correct?
Well, that's what the can says. Are you supposed to spray it on yourself, though?
Well, I sprayed on my hands. It's better than nothing, the way I figure.
I'm a soap and water guy. Honestly, John, I'm old school. Soap and water.
You know, I'm talking about if I'm out somewhere and I can't get through soap and water, I have that in my vehicle with me, and I can walk right back to my vehicle after leaving a store and spray that on my hands and rub my hands together real good.
And that does it for you. Is it just the regular Lysol, or do you use one of the scented?
Yeah, just one of the regular Lysol, whatever they have available. One other thing that I've heard is people have started buying doggy pads. You know, there's pads that people buy, and they put them on the floor when they leave the house so the dogs will have a place to go to the bathroom if they have to. where they're buying these pads just in case toilet paper doesn't come available. So they can use that if they have to. You know, they can cut it up.
So they're using that as toilet paper is what you're telling me.
Yeah, they said if they have to, that's what they'll do. They'll just, you know, cut these pads up and use it.
Are you, you're not pulling my leg here. You're telling me people are literally buying these doggy pads as an option, I guess, as a toilet paper of last resort?
Yes. Yes, they definitely are. I heard it on another talk show. The guy was telling about he had bought some, and he knew quite a few people that were buying them just in case toilet paper didn't come available. It's better than nothing.
Jeez, Alou. Well, if that's, you know, if it comes to that, you may need an extra can of the Lysol. That's all that's all I can say. John, thanks for calling. Thanks for the update. Is it really getting that bad out there, guys?
I why don't we just go to baby wipes instead of doing that?
Baby wipes. You know, I think now the Europeans, I think maybe they were onto something with the bidets, you know?
Yeah, you know, I that's what I told Avery. I was like, well, just install bidets in everybody's house, and the toilet paper crisis is all of a sudden solved.
And there we're fine.
Well, then again, if you bought all your stock like I did in Charmin, you know, you're hosed, so to speak. All right, let's go to Jacksonville, North Carolina. Keith, listening to us on The Talk Station. Keith, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, Todd? This coronavirus thing, man, everybody's worried and freaking out.
Even over there in Jacksonville, North Carolina, because y'all are pretty even keel folks.
Yeah, we don't have much bread on the shelves, not too much toilet paper. But my family, we're doing good. We're stocked up.
Good stuff. Have you? I mean, you know, what are there any things that you've been doing just to make sure the family's, you know, well taken care of?
Well, I got kind of a special situation. We're still in a motel from Hurricane Florence, and we heard a little bit of chatter that some of the motels around here might be shutting down. So we're going to try and find some alternative housing while our home is being repaired.
It's insane. It really is. And this is happening. We're hearing reports just on our Facebook page from all over the country, Keith. I want you to be safe out there, and best of luck to you and your family. Let's just hope those supply chains stay strong. By the way, folks, and we got to go to a break here, so Keith, thank you for calling. That does remind me of something. You know who needs our support and who needs a round of applause and maybe a pat on the back? Are you allowed to do? I don't know if you're allowed to do that, so you may have to do the elbow bump. It's all these long haul truck drivers. Those guys and gals are out there 24/7, and they're just killing it every single day to make sure that your local grocery stores and pharmacies are filled with all the things that we're going to need to do this. So if you see a long-haul truck driver out there, you're driving along, you know, honk your horn, give them a good wave. Maybe you see them at the gas station. Go over and tell them thank you for what you're doing, because they're putting their lives out on the line so that all of us are taken care of. We need to support them. Long-haul truck drivers. All right, folks, got to take a break here. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. And folks, it's a fluid situation, as they say. The president holding the daily briefing says that more than likely he is going to shut down the southern border to illegals. I kind of thought that was already done. But look, as long as they finally get around to doing it, let's just do it. That's why we elected Donald Trump in the first place. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our live show blog is up, and we have a link to an incredible Facebook post from and some Twitter posts from Congressman Thomas Massie from the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And he's been saying, he's saying what we've been worried about for quite some time now. The congressman writing on his Facebook, when this is over, the greatest harm to society will have been the public's unquestioning acceptance of the unchecked authority of governments to force private behavior and disrupt economies. The congressman goes on to say, I fear the actions taken by our government will make FDR's internment of Japanese Americans look like a light touch. The congressman is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Congressman, honor to have you with us today.
Todd, it's an honor to be on your show. I'm catching a lot of flack for that Facebook post. I tweeted it as well, but I stand behind it 100%. And let me be clear, I think what the president's doing at the border is 100% constitutional. We should have done it long ago, like you said. But I'm worried about what some of these governors are doing. They literally posted sheriff deputies outside of a guy's house here in Kentucky because they didn't want him going anywhere. Now, what if that guy steps out of his house and gets in his car? Are they going to shoot him? I mean, this is getting a little bit crazy.
Congressman, in Louisville, the Courier Journal reports that the police are going to be limiting calls based on, you know, they won't respond, send officers for burglary alarms, trespassing reports, loitering. I mean, Philadelphia, they're not even going to let, if you break into a store and loot the store, they're not going to arrest you. And at the same time, you have these local municipalities that are wanting to ban guns. This is crazy stuff.
It is crazy. My daughter lives in Louisville, and they've said they're not going to respond to hit and runs. I mean, one of the troubling things is, why would you advertise that, right? So the police have basically given the bad guys a list of things they can do and get away with it. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see the EPA and the FDA and some of these other agencies put out a statement and say, you know what? We're not going to go after farmers now. You know, for just doing their jobs. You were talking about long-haul truckers earlier. My heart goes out to them. God bless them for what they do. But, you know, our governor shut down all the dine-in restaurants. You realize, and I had a trucker tell me, I can't go to the restroom now. Like, you know, they've reduced the number of places that somebody could go and stop and go to the restroom. I also heard that from an Amazon worker. Delivery person. So people need to think through, the governors in particular, the implications of what they're doing.
It does seem that we have just that I wrote about this a couple of days ago, Congressman. My concerns that we were just I was more concerned about the fact that Americans are so willing to give up their civil liberties for, you know, somebody says, we have a health crisis. We've got to take away your guns. Oh, OK, here you go.
It's crazy. You know, when you look over at the dictatorships like China, for instance, or the totalitarian governments, you think your first blush, you think, you know what? They're at an advantage during an epidemic because they could tell people to stay home. They can tell people when to work and for how long. And so there's this rush to sort of emulate the totalitarian governments over here. But I'm telling people, don't abandon the free market. Do not abandon the free market. If we are going to do better than the other countries, it's because of freedom and ingenuity. Think about the financial incentives in capitalism to solve this problem, or to solve even a little bit of it. Let companies make these tests, okay? What if you could buy 12 of these tests on Amazon and have it at your door tomorrow for like $20, right? Your employer would pay for it and say, take a test before you come to work. Let me know if you're shedding the virus or not, right? We could stop this thing in its tracks if just with a little bit of ingenuity and American know-how.
No, I live in Brooklyn, New York. We're sort of in, we don't know. We've got the governor and the mayor fighting over whether or not we're going to be in lockdown, which is, I think, a fancy word for martial law. I went out to the market yesterday evening just to go ahead and get some provisions. The cupboards were bare, Congressman. And I thought to myself, you know, this smells like socialism more and more every day.
We're getting a taste of it. And, you know, people are they're demonizing the folks who are on eBay and Amazon who've found caches of the hand sanitizer, like your previous caller talked about, and they're putting them on Amazon and eBay at higher prices. And the government came in, well, first eBay shut that down. And I think that we shouldn't be so quick to do away with capitalism. Look, when the price increases on something, that's a signal to the manufacturer, you know what, we need to run the third shift. We need to hire people at a higher wage. We need to pay them time and a half. We need to produce things for the market. It's also a signal to hoarders that if the price goes up, you know what, I'm going to feel really stupid with 5 months of toilet paper bought at twice the price. I'll just buy as much as I need. And when prices increase, it's also a signal, you know what, if we don't need it in Alaska, let's ship it to California. And but the government and some of these virtue signaling big companies are trying to shut down capitalism. And I know people say, oh, he's taken up for these evil gougers. But no, I'm taking up for capitalism. Let this work. It'll work itself out.
I want to read something to you. This is from National Review. So now we're getting an indication of what this policy, this economic stimulus package is going to look like. They're telling us that the White House wants to send $2,000. That would be two separate $1,000 checks to certain Americans. And you had Republican senators, Josh Hawley, saying that families with kids need more relief. And he told, he wrote on Twitter that a working single mom with three kids needs more support than an unmarried computer programmer living in his parents' basement. Help families. Senators Tom Cotton and Mitt Romney have each called for direct cash payments of a fixed amount. This is not coming from Democrats, sir. This is coming from members of your own party.
This was part of Andrew Yang's platform, a mincome. And so you've got Republicans arguing for a mincome under this situation. Now, I'm not going to vote for cash distributions because you're going to have to steal that money from somewhere else to give it to those people or to dilute everybody else's money. But and I'm probably not even for what I'm about to suggest, but what I'm about to suggest seems like it would make more sense than giving away money. Why wouldn't you offer to loan people the money, like a student loan, at a very favorable interest rate? And then the people who don't need it aren't going to take it, right? If they have to pay it back, if it's back, this is all over, they could pay it back. That's a, you know, and that way our children aren't indebted to China 10 or 20 years from now when they have their own pandemic to deal with. They don't have to pay for our pandemic as well.
Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there, but one question before, and we'd love to get you back on because you're speaking a lot of truth here and making a lot of sense. Do you get the feeling that maybe the American people were not being told the full story here?
Oh, absolutely. The messaging hasn't been that great. The politicians started out listening to Wall Street. And Wall Street said, go out and tell them there's nothing wrong to worry about, right? Otherwise, it'll crash the economy if you look panicked. Okay, then they went totally hard in the other direction. They're listening to epidemiologists who don't know anything about the economy, who are saying the best way to stop this virus is to lock everybody in place. And so now, then the safety fuse here is just to open the treasury, print money, give away money, and that way they can make Wall Street happy and the epidemiologists happy. But this little taste of socialism is dangerous because it's going to be sold as what saved us when this is all over. And I think it's dangerous. The free market could do a better job.
Well said. All right, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you for your bold voice. We really appreciate it. And the country needs it, to be perfectly honest.
Hey, thanks, Todd. I'm taking a lot of flack, but that means I'm over the target.
Yes, sir. So hang in there. We got your back, Congressman.
Thank you,
Congressman
Todd.
Thomas Massie, ladies and gentlemen, from the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And he's right. You better believe what's happening right now. We're getting a little taste of socialism in the good old U.S. of A. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number. ToddStarns.com. Check out the live show blog. You can read the congressman's controversial Facebook post. We've got it there for you. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
still only 21, but I'm not even worried because I just take supplements and like I self-medicate, so it's fine.
Like I use like essential oils, so like I'm gonna be good. Like, wow, that gal somewhere down, I think she was on spring break somewhere. I don't know, Miami, somewhere where all these kids are congregating, and people are very upset about this. They're posting all these pictures and trying to shame the young people, the Generation Zers and the millennials, who are not listening to their government leaders. And more importantly, they're not listening to the CNN anchors. And we'll get to this in the next hour. But Jake Tapper over at CNN, he came unglued. They were doing a live shot from San Francisco, and it looked like they were, I believe, under the Bay Bridge. And people were just dozens and dozens of people walking by, jogging, riding bicycles, rollerblading. And he literally was enraged. I am enraged. What are you people doing? I have an old father. He's in his 80s and you're putting his life in jeopardy. Just going on and on. And I'm thinking, Jake, dude, just tell your, you know, 89-year-old dad not to rollerblade in San Francisco. He'll be okay, probably. No common sense. Let's go to the Liberty University newsmaker line, please. I need some common sense. Jerry Falwell Jr. is with us, president of Liberty University. Jerry, it's like the country has gone slap crazy.
Absolutely. I just can't. 7,300 cases, 300, how many citizens? 300 million people. And, you know, we had the H1N1 virus, swine flu, back in 2009. It was worse. It killed more. But we didn't see anywhere near the reaction from the media, from President Obama, from anybody. And unless my history is wrong, but that's what I've read. And it's politics. It's just politics. Now, it is serious. We do have to take it seriously. We do want to stay away from people who are high risk and stay around people who are don't have pre-existing conditions or are not elderly. But we have to obey the law. So Liberty, we're doing what the governor's ruled we have to do. We're still opening, but we're not having classes of more than 10 people in a room at a time. But we can still operate that way because we do a lot online. But most of the students, from what we can tell, are coming back, and they're going to live in the dorms, and they're going to do their classes online. They don't want to sit at home in the basement and have to do their own laundry. I don't know if that's the reason, but
you know,
but they,
I mean, the media is going nuts here because you know we were the young people are not following the orders like they thought. I guess they were going to follow and stay inside, hunkered down.
When we were young, we were invincible. You know, you and I both were. We thought we were, and that's just human nature, and you're not going to change that. And it's just fortunate that this disease, this flu, doesn't have a high mortality rate for young people because they're the ones that are not worried about it. And I'm not worried about it, but it's crazy to see it. It just makes you wonder. You know, President Trump was wise in his press conference today not to let China off the hook because they were trying to pressure him to say that China did it intentionally. He wouldn't say that, but he didn't say they weren't to blame because they could have let us know about it a lot sooner. God bless him for enacting the travel ban as quickly as he did. And, you know, Obama was not nearly as proactive as Trump when the swine flu came through, in my opinion. And so I think we have thank God we have the best president we could possibly have to deal with a crisis like this. And, you know, shame on the media for trying to fan it up and destroy the American economy. They're willing to destroy the American economy just to hurt Trump. And how many more people will starve, will be homeless, will be you know, if they succeed, how many more people will be hurt than the few that die from this virus? I'll tell you,
here in New York, the unemployment website, it crashed. There were so many people applying for benefits on Monday. And I think that's just going to get worse. I feel bad for the small business owners, especially. This is going to be tough on folks.
Yeah, but you know, we can't do what we did after 9/11. We can't do what George W. Bush did, and that's resort to socialism and just build all these new departments and czars and try to deal with it with government. Government's not the answer. Common sense is the answer. Churches are the answer, and that's what I'm afraid of. I'm just afraid we're going to have 18 new agencies of the federal government to deal with disease from here on out, and that would be the worst tragedy.
Well said. Jerry, we're going to have to leave it there. We are right up against the top of the hour news break. Jerry Falwell Jr., ladies and gentlemen, great American patriot, great university. Jerry, thank you. Yeah, look, and here's what gets me. If you so much as cast a hint of doubt about what's really going on here, you're all of a sudden just labeled some sort of a monster. You heard what Congressman Massey said, but there are a lot of people out there who are genuinely concerned about where we are going with all of this. And I do believe that the Chinese were behind this, and I believe the full story is yet to be told. But, I'll just save my thoughts on that. 844-747-8868 for another day. That's 844-747-8868. A Radio Rumble coming up next.